This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Colby weighed in for our brand new baseball segment, and he has a couple of suggestions for your new segment. It could be called Belting Balls. Mm. It could be called Belted, which I kind of like that one, or Bobby's Crushed Balls.
So ooh, I like that.
These are, which is interesting. So all of those viable options, or Falling in Glove with Bobby Belt.
I think we'll revisit some of those names tomorrow, because okay. I know you've got some others too.
Oh, I do.
And so I think we'll include it, but I think I've already planned for Falling in Glove.
Okay.
And so,
well, then do you plan the baseball segment differently depending on the title?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think that the topics between Falling in Glove and Bobby's Crushed Balls would be wildly different.
Okay, well, here it is. Hit the music! This is the same music we usually play. I feel like this is not unique music.
Thanks, Hagee. Rangers had a chance to get to 500 again yesterday. Chance to get their first road sweep of three games or more since the first time since 2019. Did they do it, Hagee?
Well, I mean, I already know the answer.
Did they do it?
Based on the way you're saying it, no.
They didn't. Nope. Nope.
What?
Nope.
Well, I knew that.
They weren't crushing many balls yesterday. Just five hits yesterday, one run. They lose this game 2-1. Zach Greinke, you know, had a hold on them for a lot of the game. But this is like got to be the most frustrating run for a Rangers pitcher in recent memory, what Dane Dunning is going through. So I was looking up some stuff yesterday. Dane Dunning, this month of June, went at least six innings and allowed two runs or fewer in four starts. And the Rangers lost all four of them.
What? Oh,
in fact, the Rangers have lost eight straight games that Dane Dunning has started, and they've scored one or zero runs in five of his starts this year.
Do you think he walks in to the clubhouse and somebody's like, "Hey, Dane, good, so don't even talk to me." And he's like, "I don't want to hear it. If you play offense, I don't want to hear from you."
Yeah,
well, like, I guess if you just didn't hit, not play offense.
No, but I mean,
that's not really the way that works.
I mean, it's got to be, and I was talking to Sandler about this. I was like, what, like, that's just luck, right? Like, there can't be any explanation for that.
So you're not saying that low-key the Rangers hate Dane Dunning and they're
No, but I'm trying to remember who it was. Was it Kevin Millwood used to have that issue, too? I think when he was here.
I know that was a thing. I don't remember who it was that ran
somebody,
into that.
It was somebody
though.
Around that time of Millwood, though.
Okay.
And on the opposite side of it, like I know notoriously, I'm just thinking over the years, like remember in it was 98, Rick Helling winning 20 games with like a mid-4 ERA or whatever it was, where it was just like they always scored for Rick Helling. And then Scott Feldman was like that, I think, around like 09. Where he was winning a lot of games, even at time. I mean, he pitched well early in the season, but he won a lot of games with a ton of run support. And it's just interesting to me whenever we see like a pattern over a whole season of like they don't score when this guy pitches, they do score when he pitches. And I wish we could nail down what causes that.
Can I give you my stat of the day?
Yes.
I don't want to infringe on your segment too much.
Please
do. Stat of the day: the Rangers are 1-4 this year in games where they had the chance to get to 500.
That's depressing.
I didn't say it was my positive stat of the day, just wait, stat of the
way
day.
Way to bring things down. So the 2022 ESPY nominees were announced this week.
Oh.
Do you
care about the ESPYs?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But I care about it for this segment because this is great.
Okay.
I love this. So ESPN sent out a press release just, hey, we're, you know, the ESPYs are here, yada, yada, yada. And, they have the complete list of 2022 nominees that can be viewed, and here's press release below. They have the section Best MLB Player.
Oh,
and
Mike Trout.
You remember like the Mavericks won for like Best Team or whatever, and that was awesome. That was great. So this is Best MLB Player. Mike Trout is not nominated.
What?
We've got Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Bryce Harper. Makes sense. Aaron Judge.
Sure.
Makes sense. The fourth slot, you would think Mike Trout, right?
Yeah, I would think that.
This How about
somebody dumb?
Jorge Soler.
What? He gets the nod and a Mike Trout.
It doesn't say like best moment or like, you know, it's the definition is best MLB player. And I'm sure it's for the MVP. It's for the MVP performance. It's for the home run. Like, you know,
stupid.
But like, if you look at Jorge Soler's numbers this year in Miami, he's hitting .216, 13 home runs. His OPS is .724. Not been a great year for Jorge Soler. Certainly not somebody that you would think would be the, you know, nominee for best MLB player. But again, I mean, that's just about hitting three home runs in the World Series, I guess.
Now I hope he wins. I hope we bit this all the way up and they're like,
but if he wins, like clearly they just need to like change the net. Because hasn't that always been the argument about MVP? It's not the best, though. It says most valuable. Yeah. Like, this very clearly says best MLB player, and they are putting Jorge Soler on there, which I think is absolutely hilarious.
From the 469, I dropped Jorge Soler from my fantasy team last week.
That's how bad he's been, that guy had to drop him. You know, I think there's no greater indictment than I had to drop you from my fantasy team.
I mean, it does feel like a burn, right?
It really does. Like, I know players don't care, but I do remember when I would play fantasy, like dropping somebody, just being like, man, I hope this guy knows how much he sucks.
Do you think there's any, like, Kevin Durant jumps to mind. Do you think there's any, like, professional athletes so insecure they, like, scour the waiver wires of different fantasy leagues and they're like, how am I only 99% owned in this league? Or how am I only 85% in this league?
Yeah, so I think that same person would be the one that, like, Twitter searches their name. Like, when you see them go after somebody when they weren't even tagged by that person.
Have you ever done that?
Have I ever Twitter searched my name or have I been hit by an athlete?
No, Have you ever Twitter searched your own name?
No.
Okay. Me neither.
No, but also, like, I know some players unfairly get tagged as, like, you searched your name, but a lot of times it is their name gets used and then somebody replies and tags and they snitch tag.
Yeah.
And so that can happen. But, like, yeah, I would think Kevin Durant would be way up there, but I mean, he's going to be owned in a bunch of leagues.
Yeah.
So it more like,
but if it wasn't 100%, don't you think he'd be like, what the hell is this?
Like, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa definitely did that. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was definitely outraged at how many people like owned him in fantasy leagues.
And he's outraged for other people on his team that they're probably like, hey man, could you like not include me in this?
Exactly. No. Another update to the Freddie Freeman saga.
Oh yeah.
Because the Doug Gottlieb tweet that went viral yesterday was like, hey, Freddie Freeman got upset because this last weekend in Atlanta, he found out that his agent withheld the final offer from the Braves, which like matched the Dodgers. And the agent, Casey Close, he delivered a statement to Sports Illustrated on Wednesday night. He said, there's no truth whatsoever to what Doug Gottlieb recklessly tweeted, and I would testify to that under oath. We are currently evaluating all legal options in this matter.
Okay, that holds more weight for me because the first part of it is like, of course I didn't say that. Like, what's he going to do? Come out and be like, no, he's right. You got me there, Doug. Good job. But when he says we're going to evaluate legal options, that feels like it's
But what if he doesn't actually do it? He can say that and then not actually, if he's not willing to actually go to court over it.
Then I think it's a nonsense.
And even still, what if it was just like a phone call? Like, all right, we'll match the offer. But there was nothing ever sent over. So he can say, I'll testify that under oath because there's no evidence of it. He's a lawyer after all.
Do you think, let's just say this, do you think the agent is lying or bending the truth?
I would say he's potentially bending the truth, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Doug Gottlieb has it like 90% right, but maybe the exact wording of what he said isn't accurate, and that's what Casey Close is pushing back against. Because that often happens when somebody's kind of speaking out of turn, just like, I heard that, you know, this happened or these interactions happened. It's things you're not present for. A lot of times it's that game of telephone and you lose details and you're saying things that are not completely accurate in the process.
Do you have more stuff to get to, or do you want to hear an amazing Doug Gottlieb story involving Corey?
I do want to hear an amazing Doug Gottlieb story, so hit me with that, but then I will quickly have one more note for you after that.
At the Super Bowl several years ago when it was in Houston, Corey was definitely drunk, and you know how it goes. There's like all kinds of people everywhere. And I don't even remember who Doug Gottlieb was talking to, but like Corey just wandered over and it was just Gottlieb and this one other person. He was standing like close enough that you're like, hey.
Like, hey, what's
up? And Doug Gottlieb looked or turned around and goes, can I help you with something? And he goes, no, I just like, really like hearing you guys talk. And Doug's like, I appreciate that, but this is like a kind of a private conversation. And Corey's like, oh, okay, that's cool.
You should have just gone, oh, sorry, I thought you were choppy.
Yeah, and then just walked off. It was amazing. And I was like, oh, my God, Corey.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is something that this factoid, the one that I can't reveal yet, there's a the stunning fact here okay. is what caused somebody to go on Reddit and look up who are the leaders in MLB over the last 162 games played. So if you've had some injury hampered seasons and the last 162 games you've played have been spread over 4 years, that would be your last 162 games. So this okay. person on Reddit dove in and tried to like stack up as many of these statistics right. as they could for the leaders in the clubhouse. And okay. so when you look at these numbers, they tallied who are the home run leaders over their last 162 games played. And this was 2 days ago, so this could have changed some. But you look at some of these names. You know, we'll start with like the middle of the pack where it's 45 home runs, Salvador Perez, 47 Tatis, 48 Yordan Alvarez, 48 Pete Alonso, 50 Mike Trout, 51 Kyle Schwarber. Tied at the top with 52 home runs, Aaron Judge. Do you know who in their last 162 games is tied with Aaron Judge for the most home runs in MLB with 52?
Man, because Pete Alonso was going to be my guess. Shohei? I don't know. I'm not...
Shohei's at 40.
Oh, wow. So we're I don't know.
Byron Buxton.
What? Oh yeah, because he gets hurt a lot.
And there's like, oh. There's not a time in the, and that's spread over 3 seasons. And there's not a time over the last 3 seasons where he's hit like 20 home runs. It's been like 17, 20, 19. And so it looks like just in a vacuum, man. Like, oh, that's not that many. But when you spread it over his last 162 games, Byron Buxton has hit as many home runs as Aaron Judge.
Wow. And that's why everyone loves him so much. And they're like, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. And you're like, yeah.
Now, what's also real quick note, because I know we got to go. The leader in walks. Second is Kyle Schwarber with 126 ahead of obviously Juan Soto, who gets 162. A walk a game over his last 162.
Holy
that's Bonds-like.
Cow. Wow. Excellent job today.